Welcome to the podcast, Your Time with James Sweetman. This week's episode is all about coping with change. I was going to call it managing change, but I was speaking with an audience recently, and that was the title of the talk, Managing Change. And one of the people in the room, a very clued in person, said, it's not really about managing change, it's about coping with change. So today the focus is on how we deal with change ourselves. It's not necessarily coming at change in terms of, you know, managing a process of change within business, but it's dealing with change ourselves in our personal lives and maybe at work as well. And of course, we know change is constant, you know, that old quote. Another analogy I came across recently in this area was to do with forest fires. You know, so we know that forest fires create change, that it's about, you know, the destruction of the old to give space for the creation of the new. But if we stick with that analogy, I often think change is easier if we're the one holding the matches, you know, we're the ones instigating change. So there's always that difference between change that is self-determined, you know, that is cause-led, as opposed to one to change that we feel is imposed upon us, you know, where we have to react to it or respond to it, where we're in effect, as it were. In this week's episode, I'm going to share with you 10 reasons why we maybe instinctively resist change, or why we find it a challenge. And we all do. I know I do. And then I'll follow that up with 4 or 5 tips that maybe allow us to cope with change just a little bit more easily. Before I get stuck into those, though, a quick thank you for tuning in. You know, I've done several weeks of this podcast now, and I'm delighted with the feedback, and I'm delighted with the 5-star reviews and with the comments that people have made. So if you're enjoying it, feel free to subscribe, and of course pass some details on to people that you might find my content useful. So let's look first of all at reasons why we resist change. You know, there's that old saying that goes, we don't resist change, we resist feeling uncomfortable. You know, and that is my experience. We're pushed outside of comfort zone, and everything that goes with that kicks in a greater level of self-consciousness and emotions like worry and fear. So we don't really resist change, we resist feeling uncomfortable, and we also resist change being imposed upon us, because most of us like to feel a sense of self-determination or control. And when change is sudden or comes from the outside in, our natural response is to feel a little worse off. You know, it's interesting when I do big workshops on this topic, and if the audience needs a little bit of energizing, which sometimes they do, I might invite them to stand up and to change something about their immediate environment or their own appearance, let's say. And usually to a person, they will remove something. You know, they'll take off a pair of glasses, they'll move a glass across a table. Very rarely will someone actually add something to their environment, you know, take something out of a bag and put it on a table or put their glasses on, let's say, because we're instinctively hotwired to associate change with a sense of loss or being worse off. And that's just how we're hotwired as people. It's part of our self-defense mechanism. So the first reason why we resist change is that sense of loss of control. You know, the familiar is gone. The routines I have are maybe no longer relevant, and I associate less self-determination with new processes, new procedures, or new life events, as it were. That's closely related to the second reason, which is increased uncertainty. You know, we all like to feel certain. You know, we like to feel certain that we have a roof over our head and food on the table, or certain that we have a salary at the end of the week or at the end of the month. We like structure. We like routine. And I think that's true for everyone. But particularly as we get older, I think we like a little bit more certainty. And of course, change brings a tremendous amount of uncertainty with it. And I work frequently in organizations that are dealing with a lot of change. And of course, that's the norm now. You know, change is the norm. Dealing with change is almost a core competency for every organization and every job. And when there's loads of uncertainty, we drift into feelings of chaos. you know, and we're just looking for handrails because the ground is so uncertain beneath our feet. So increased uncertainty is another reason why we resist change. A third one is the sudden imposition, you know, the surprise factor. You know, something is imposed upon us. We don't feel that we've had a voice in shaping it. That's why from a managing of change perspective, it's always useful to involve people in the process wherever possible. Otherwise, the instinctive response is not invented here. The fourth reason why we resist change, and I've alluded to it already, is the loss of habits and routines. You know, as humans, we are habit-forming creatures. We form habits and routines wherever we can. You know, we've the habit of driving a car. We've the habit of baking a meal. We have the habit of thinking about certain people and certain situations in habitual ways. And when new change comes in personal life or in work, those habits and routines are changed and therefore, you know, are out of date, beyond their sell-by date, as it were. And therefore, we're having to work more purposely on establishing new habits and routines. When we do operate things routinely, it's less pressurized in the brain. And this leads us into the next point where we often associate more change with more work or more concentration. And that's actually true because the part of the brain when we have to think purposely, that part of the brain is the prefrontal cortex. So if you think about, you know, learning to drive a car or driving a car abroad, you know, you're very self-aware, alert, self-conscious. And then after a period of time, when the habits are formed and the new routines are formed, the basal ganglia kicks in. That always sounds a bit rude to me. The basal ganglia, the part of the brain that does things more automatically. So, for example, if you're an experienced driver, you're sort of driving from the basal ganglia, like you're alert, you're competent, but it is routine. So when we feel a sense of overwhelm or we're concentrating a huge amount, we're using the prefrontal cortex. And that can be a stressful place to be in. You know, we'll feel a bit mentally jaded afterwards, as opposed to the almost unconscious competence of the automatic habits and routines that we had. The sixth reason why we resist change or find change a challenge is because we maybe associate a loss of face with the departure of the old ways. So what do I mean by that? Well, say, you know, in a work scenario, you're used to dealing with certain procedures, certain systems. Maybe even you were actively involved in creating those systems and procedures at one point. And now something new is coming along, new technology or a streamlined system. And you feel yourself associated with the old ways. And not only is the new way, you know, new learning and prefrontal cortex and new habits and routines and all of that, but you feel a sense of loss because you were attached to the old way of doing things. You know, that's understandable. Closely followed with another reason why we resist change is our concerns maybe around competency. Because if something new is coming on board and I have to deal with it, I will be questioning my ability to perform it well. You know, at minimum, there will be a learning curve, and sometimes that learning curve can be quite steep. And we don't like it when we feel, you know, uncomfortable or excessively challenged, or if we feel maybe our abilities or our competency is being questioned or coming into play, even if that's just by ourselves. So the last three reasons why we resist change are, first of all, the concerns we have around the ripple effects. You know, that's understandable in an organization when you think about it. It's like, okay, this change is coming on board. What would be the ripple effects of this? And that may be unknown, but we can fear, you know, give an inch and they'll take a mile, you know, that sort of analogy. So it's not just the direct change that's now facing us. It's like, where might that lead to? That perhaps is, you know, part and parcel of another reason why we can resist change, particularly in organizations, because there are maybe past resentments or challenges or a lack of trust or, you know, a company culture that is maybe based on the status quo or where there's been difficulties in the past and low morale. And change then is almost like rubbing a bruise. You know, there's sensitivities that are there, and a new change reignites hurts them, as it were. And very difficult, of course, to positively influence people or to get people to buy into change when maybe there hasn't been good systems of communication or openness and trust or a sense of integrity there in the past, because people will naturally come at that from a place of suspicion or even cynicism. The last reason that we can resist change, both in and outside of work, is that sometimes the pain is just real. You know, there is the case of, you know, there's no two ways around it. This is a difficulty. This is a challenge. And it is what it is. Now, I often say somewhat philosophically, I think it's the phrase that Byron Katie has, the teacher and the author, where she says, if you argue with reality, you will lose. And that's sort of true. You know, if I might wish this change wasn't happening or this challenge wasn't happening, but if it is, if I'm arguing with it, maybe I'm the only one that's suffering. You know, that old Mark Twain quote, I'm the one who's drinking the poison in the hope it kills them and they're getting on with things. So sometimes the pain is real. And maybe in a personal life context as well, I like playing with words, as you know, and even some of the earlier episodes, there's been a few acronyms or analogies in there. And one also sits with the word pain, P-A-I-N. And it's one that I pay a lot of attention to myself. So if I'm feeling pain, and I'm not just talking physical pain here, you know, mental pain or uncomfort, I can use that as an acronym, you know, P-A-I-N, pay attention inwards now. What exactly is going on the inside? So let's do a quick recap here about the reasons why we resist change. There's that sense of loss of control, hand in hand, usually with increased uncertainty, doubly so if we feel that's imposed upon us in a sudden way. Of course, there's a sense of outdated habits and routines and maybe a loss of face associated with the old ways of doing things. There would be concerns about our own competencies and abilities. And of course, then there is that the part of the brain that we're using. It's no longer the automatic part of the brain, the basal ganglia. It's the prefrontal cortex, you know, where I'm having to focus and concentrate more. And that is more tiring. Concerns around the ripple effects of it, or how old resentments or challenges have been stirred up again. And then sometimes, of course, the challenge is real. There's no two ways around it. So having looked at some of the reasons why we naturally resist change or find change a challenge, let me share with you 5-6 tips for coping with it better, because sometimes that's all it is. It's surviving. It's not necessarily thriving with change. It's just getting by. The first tip is one that I think is always valid, where it's important to acknowledge how we're feeling. You know, I do feel our emotions are always valid. They're a guide. If we're able to label something, it's like we're containing it. So for me, when I'm faced with change or challenge, it's like, okay, how am I feeling about this? And usually I might say something like stressed or overwhelmed or frustrated. But one of the things that I've found in recent times is if I'm really honest with myself and maybe a little bit courageous with myself to admit it, deep down, I'm usually feeling a bit scared, you know, and that might be scared around the ability to cope, you know, scared about worrying or thinking about the worst case scenario. But if I acknowledge that head on and sort of sit with it, I think then it sort of passes. You know, the way in society we're often, you know, there's that advice around grief where, you know, the best advice is to sit in it, to acknowledge it, imagine it going in and out like waves. I think that's also true of every, I won't say negative emotion, but every heavier type emotion, those below the line type emotions, you know, worry, anxiousness, stress, overwhelm. It's like, what exactly is going on here? And usually the roots of it are in fear. That's something that I found. And as humans, it's quite natural to be fearful because it's part of our self-defense mechanism. You know, we think about the worst case scenario. And when we're in an environment of change, that's often stirred up. So that first tip is to just acknowledge how I'm feeling, because our emotions are a barometer. They're a guide for us. I think coping with change or dealing with change ultimately comes down to tapping into our reserves of resilience, let's say, perhaps courage, certainly looking at ways to resource ourselves. And one of the things that I contemplate here is, let me reflect about some past changes or challenges that I've come through or overcome, and let me just contemplate them a little. Let me re-experience them almost. Let me go back and think about what I was maybe focused on or feeling back then and how I approached it. You know, if I was able to dig deep in the past, I can dig deep again. You know, that furrow has been dug. Oftentimes we will use past memories either through a sense of nostalgia or baggage, but they're also that those memory banks are a great resource for us, because if I'm feeling scared, I have to know what feeling safe is, or if I'm feeling worried, I have to know what feeling excited is, let's say. There's always that yin and yang with it. So if I am feeling worried or concerned around a change that I'm facing, let me think about times in the past where I dealt with something and how I came through it. And oftentimes the quality there that we're looking to connect with is a little bit of courage. So the next tip in dealing with change is to ask myself the probing question, how am I participating in this? So what do I mean by that? Well, as adults, we are responsible for our own behaviours and our own attitudes. And of course, we're habit forming creatures, as we know. So maybe I'm interacting with this change in a way that's not particularly helpful. How could I engage with it differently? Particularly if the train is coming down the tracks anyway. There's that great quote by Joseph Goldstein that says, you cannot stop the waves, but you can learn how to surf. And I think that's particularly relevant when dealing with change. So if we look at taking ownership of our behavior, you know, what can I do now in terms of my engagement with the process? Most of the time, what we're looking for in dealing with change is a greater sense of control. And for me, when I'm looking for more control, it's about identifying the different choices that are available to me. So if I don't feel I have a choice of response or a choice of approach, I won't feel in control. But if I can identify some choices that are at my disposal, and sometimes that really just comes down to a choice of attitude and engaging with it, not necessarily, you know, even a choice of behavior, that feeling of choice will give me more control and maybe a sense of clarity as to what it is I really want here. So that question, how am I participating in this, leads naturally into another one, which is how could I choose to participate in this or engage with this differently? That brings me into a very favorite question of mine, which is, who do I want to be in this situation? And again, what do I mean by that? Well, you know, we're human beings, we're not human doings. What qualities do I want to bring to the fore in dealing with this change, in engaging with it? You know, do I want to be optimistic? Do I want to be trusting? Do I want to be positive? You know, no rights or wrongs with it, but I'm just thinking about the qualities that I want to tap into. So I remember, you know, a fairly innocuous example here a little while ago when my website was being tested, and, you know, there was many bugs in it that needed to be sorted out, and it was being tested in a live environment, and I could feel myself getting a bit frustrated. But I said, from that state, I'm not going to be making good choices. It's a bit like, you know, the red mist was clouding my vision. And I asked myself, who do I want to be in this scenario? Well, I want to be calm. I want to be trusting. You know, I want to be patient, let's say. And when I put some focus on those qualities, I can feel my energy shift a little. And then maybe the clarity of thought and options for behavior become a little bit more, they come into vision. I think with this week's episode, we're going a little deeper with some of these questions, because the last little tip I'm sharing with you around coping with change is another deep self-reflection question. And I think it brings us into, or it brings into awareness, the old learning lens, because even in challenging scenarios, oftentimes it's the ability to learn something from it is maybe only the only straw that's there for us to grasp at. So this question is not one that can be answered easily, but like most powerful questions, they, you know, it acts like a little seed in the brain, or it acts like a door for opening up, wisdom into a new arena, as it were. So the question to ponder is, what is this situation asking of me that I'm still withholding? And that's a deep question. you know, what is this situation, this change or this challenge asking of me that I'm still withholding? I know when I ask myself that question, and in recent times with different health issues or different change that I feel has been imposed upon me, when I ask myself that question, the answer is usually something to do with trust. Trust in myself, you know, trust that things tend to work out, you know, faith in the positivity of life, let's say. And recently, when I was just contemplating that question, something else that came to my mind was, what am I still withholding? Well, my willingness to be vulnerable, you know, my willingness to say I'm struggling with this a little. And when we do that, I think there's a great honesty to it, even if it's just self-honesty. So that last little tip, what is this situation asking of me that I'm still withholding? So before I do a little recap on those five strategies for coping with change, let's not lose sight of the fact that some change is really good. You know, I'm a great fan of Robin Sharma, the Canadian speaker and author. And one of his quotes, I love many of his quotes, but one of his quotes is something like, you know, at the beginning, change is very hard. In the middle, change is very messy. But change at the end is often glorious because we've come through, I don't know, the fire, and we've come out the other end where things are updated and new and fresh, and there's a new sense of possibility with it. I know in the past, when I think of pivotal moments in my life, going through them, they were dark and scary some of the time. That change might have been imposed upon me, or maybe it's, you know, I felt I had to make some changes in my life, and we rely on faith, you know, that old Martin Luther King quote, faith is taking the first step, even though you cannot see the staircase. But oftentimes when we're coping with change, and that's what this week's episode is about, we can easily lose sight of the fact that oftentimes change is a positive, good thing. And if we think about different times of in our own lives, when change happened, it won't all be for the worst. In fact, the majority will probably be for the better. So let me recap on those five tips for dealing with the challenging change, you know, when we're in the tunnel and we can't quite see the light at the end of it. First tip is to acknowledge how you're feeling, like just be honest with yourself, sit in the emotion and acknowledge that maybe what I think is annoying me or frustrating me is not really what's annoying or frustrating me. That layer deeper is usually something to do with fear. Let's not forget as well then that I have resources available to me, memories from the past, challenging times in the past that I came through. Let me take that memory out again and replay it as a way to resource myself in the present. Dealing with the current scenario then as well, let me ponder how am I participating in it, or how could I engage with it differently? That powerful question, who do I want to be in this situation? And then the final tip, another question to ponder, what is this situation asking of me that I'm still withholding? Deep question. If we ponder it, we might get a nugget of wisdom. So thank you for listening and for tuning in again. As I say, I'm delighted with the feedback on the podcast to date. If you've enjoyed this episode, please do consider giving it a review, a star rating or a little comment. And if you know of anyone who might benefit from tuning in, feel free to pass the details on to them. So again, thank you for listening, and until next week.